podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
People say treat yourself like you need a reason, but McDonald's treats are perfect for every day. Like bold McCafe iced coffee, get any size for $1.69, or pick up any size sweet tea for a dollar, the largest served in an insulated cup that keeps your tea cold. Feeling a little extra something something? Try the classic bakery sweets like an apple fritter. With so many ways to treat yourself, you don't need an excuse. Just come back tomorrow. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. Are you thinking more about how to tighten up your budget these days? Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average. And customers can qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up. A little off your rate each month goes a long way. Get a quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed in 2020. Potential savings will vary. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
There's the camera over there. Good evening, welcome along to the Trippers Pod. I don't have my headphones on, so I feel very weird at this moment of time. Steve, how's my sound coming in? That's great. We've actually got a technical producer in the house
boom,
tonight.
Steve Boom is in the house.
So we'll get Steve to give you a wave later on when the lens goes down and I told him what button to press. Anyway, in tonight, we're actually in our temporary home because we decided to redecorate the bunker.
This is at least his third podcast.
Change my bleeding accent.
The jambo.
Stories now.
I'm getting a bit sick of you, Andy.
Right, what was I saying? Yeah, we're down. This is our temporary home for the next bit. So we're in JK Stoutman's where we did the Fair Club gig. So if you want to come down and see us, you can't. It's a private show. No.
No, you can, Come on, just walk in the door. We won't give a shit.
In tonight, of course, I've got the fabulous Neil Gray. Say hello, Neil.
Beautiful. Hello,
beautiful. Wonderful hair.
The man that Lawrence Carey has took his hairstyle
that's
from.
Going here in Ireland.
Yeah. Beside him, of course, is Stephen Brown. No, not Stephen Brown. Stephen Daly.
That's Stephen Brown.
Legend. Stephen Daly. Steve, what's going on with your hair?
It's a bit flat today, I think, is it?
No, it's just the colour of it. It's gone.
It's beautiful.
It's a bit gingery.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Lightning hair, Phil.
It's the lightning hair messing with this absolute beautiful
bun. Sean over in fucking Australia.
Is
still
that what it is? Auburn. Lovely. Lovely.
And of course it's Andy lovely. Gray. It's the best hair in Ireland.
Andy Gray sitting here. Hey, Andy, poor podcast.
Andy Gray is fucking right.
Andy Gray.
Andy Silver.
Anyway, this is the podcast.
This is my 12th time as a podcast.
The 12th time?
Contributor, yeah.
Is it 12?
Mm.
We're like the fucking.
I counted them up earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on. Well, take us through the 12. Sorry, but this is just a little bit of a history lesson.
I won't remember now on air. Right,
there was,
there was the office, Sunshine FM Studios.
There was the pub and
the goat. Two different rooms in the goat.
Phil's house.
Your gaff.
My old house.
Your apartment.
My apartment, yeah.
Your other apartment.
Yeah.
My other apartment,
your
yeah.
Gaff. my gaff.
Your gaff, yeah.
The Astro,
obviously.
The Astro, yeah.
Cologne.
Waterford. Yeah.
Waterford. No, well, that was a live pod. That's like saying here before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cologne.
So, Cologne.
The Corconian Cologne. Vinny, good evening.
All right, Vin.
Oh, well, I counted Waterford and here.
And here.
Yeah, even though we've done here.
There's people switching off all over the world there.
So it's 12.
Anyway. That's riveting viewing for anybody who's watching. So, I'm glad you've been part of that.
Stay tuned.
You see the shit we have planned for you.
There's a brief history of where we did podcasts.
As a founding member in before, you know, before Steve
all around it. What? Before I came in
and
around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the most founding members we've had in on a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. In a long time.
Well, I wasn't a founder.
No, that's
just start getting good on IGN. Just
start getting bring back Trev. So, unfortunately,
Trev is coming back.
Trev is
fist pumping women there.
Fist pumping women, he is indeed. On International Women's Day, and right, he is as well. Give it up to our sisters out there. Yeah,
fair play.
I think there's six of them watching.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies. Anyway, right, so where are we tonight? So tonight we're going to have a look back at the Porto game that was, and a look ahead, obviously, to the United game. I have some Shepherd's chats. I have them saved somewhere, but there's so many likes and stuff. We'll get to
some. We'll make some up.
So, lads, let's start off with the Porto game. And Neil, I'll start with you. You didn't watch it. Right. Stephen, I'll start with you. Did you watch it?
No, I did. It was on in the background.
It was on the background. That's great. Let me put it to you that, in fact, that was arguably one of the least enjoyable games that we've watched under Jurgen Klopp in ages. But for that reason, it was actually a quite enjoyable game because nothing really happened.
Yeah, I was happy with it for a few reasons. A few players got a run out that you wanted to see get a run. Similarly, it was a situation whereby we kept a clean sheet yet again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important because, okay, Porto don't have a great record with English clubs, whatever it might be, but we've been susceptible to conceding City goals throughout the season. We seem, hopefully, to have put that behind us. And I was very happy to see us go and have a stalemate. I didn't need us to go out and win 3-0. I was happy. It looked like, I won't say, I know people have said, it was like an intense training session.
Yeah.
Probably not quite that level. You know, it was probably above that level. But every player came through it by the looks of things unscathed. And we go into a United game now with nearly needing a little bit of a boost, which is a good thing. Had we gone and beat them 4-0, we might be a little bit cocky about
lackadaisical.
Yeah, a little bit lethargic. Little bit off pace. And and we're going into a shit show on Saturday.
Okay. Shit show on Saturday. Andrew, what was your take on the match? Some people have said to me that it was an incredibly enjoyable game and lots of enjoyable things to do, and it was very enjoyable. How did you find it?
Yeah, look, it was zero spectacle, really. Yeah. Like, but to have to be in a knockout stage of the Champions League and just pissing around the park is unbelievable. Mm. And it's it's testament as to where we're back, in the position we're back, you know, playing European football and pissing around the park on a Tuesday night.
Just having a laugh.
Brilliant.
It was a good
excuse to get a bottle of wine and a few beers at home. And
I thought you meant on the pitch.
On the bench, toasting Mignolet for his birthday.
And watch Liverpool without being stressed to bits.
Yeah.
Worrying about the result. Mm. Yeah, so it was good.
We've had that over the last couple of matches, though, haven't we? Where we've kind of taken a lead and you're not too stressed that they're
going to
come back.
Yeah.
That kind of
I noticed the performances probably in the last 4 weeks. Because, you know, we won 2-0 for the first time in ages. Was it against, who was it? We won 2-0 recently. Anyway, it's just a more organised shape to Liverpool now. Like, we're actually defending. We're actually putting a bit of effort into defending and just not going as gung-ho. And it was a bit like that at the end of last season as well, where results mattered more so than performances and you know, entertaining. So it is a little bit more comfortable now being a Liverpool fan, especially like having the assurance that Carey is playing well at the back.
Newcastle game.
No, there was another one before that.
West Ham.
Yeah. And just name teams.
No, we didn't, because we took a week off.
Me? Alright, okay.
We never had a producer before.
Somebody talking to us?
Fair enough. So I'm with Van Dijk at the back there and everything else. Like, you know, it's just, I know he didn't play, but it's just like lately it's just a lot more comfortable watching the team.
The goalkeeper, you know, and Robertson as well.
Yeah. And going into playing a game in Old Trafford as well with that sort of organisation, well, you're not as fearful.
You're looking at two of your most important players in Van Dijk and Salah.
Being
sat on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, now I wonder why Salah had to come on. You know,
He said to Salah, look, I'll give you a day off training if you just come on and run around for 15 minutes.
Didn't he go to the funeral?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, but I just thought someone like Woodburn or somebody else, be it Solanke or whoever it might be.
Klopp.
When? And how do you know this?
He said in the press conference after a match.
So he didn't have to train.
It came out of his mouth.
On Wednesday, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't Cornwall pretending to be Klopp.
It would have been a light session for
him. Yeah, it would, of course, yeah. It would be a recovery session after.
He was
just being facetious.
Yeah.
He was making a joke, Neil.
It's a good joke.
He's a fantastic manager, but as a human being, I don't like him at all.
Why is that?
He's egotistical.
No, he's not.
And that's all fake, all that laughing and all. Because you ever notice it just some, he needs to switch it off and just go, this, he's going, ah ha.
What's wrong with that?
he's full of shit.
Yeah, maniacal.
I don't know whether he's maniacal.
Yes, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't.
He
like
has
him.
To be. All the best managers ever were maniacal.
Absolutely, you need to be a sound. Fucking
no. But Bobby Robson
was an unbelievable manager.
The only one not drinking.
I'm not happy with that comment at all.
Like why
would you say that?
I just don't like that.
He's
fake. I don't like how he carries himself.
Okay, so
I think he's false.
When
the image he portrays isn't him at all.
So when he's celebrating on the sideline or showing his emotions on
the
sideline,
all that jumping up and down and all that shit. It is. Yeah.
You can't. You can't.
What do you reckon he's really like?
I'd say he's a prick.
But in what way?
What he portrays is the nicest man in the world, and I don't get it. All that hugging and all.
You don't like hugs?
No, well, I do like
hugs. Do you want
hugs.
A hug?
No, not now.
Are you sure?
Wait, the camera's on.
All right, okay.
Neil, I'm just saying, I just don't really like
you're
him.
You're going on. You're going like.
I have to like him because he's the man.
No, you don't have to like him, but I think that's completely false.
I think it's all a front.
You can't act that out. You can't.
I think it is.
He's doing it forever.
He's so media savvy, it's unreal.
He's media savvy, but that doesn't mean he's
just switched it on.
But he's going on like that for his whole managerial career.
Yeah, he's full of shit for his whole career.
Neil,
right. So it's just he decided.
Come here, I'm not saying he's not about. He's a fantastic football manager.
Yeah,
but I think what the image he portrays is
would
not
it,
the
would
real
it, like would being putting on an act while you're managing a football not be enough of a distraction?
What are you talking about?
Would it not be a distraction to keep up an act while you're managing a football team? But it's hardly worth as well.
Well, it is because he's got his job at Opel now and everything, so it's working what he does.
As a Vectra.
Yeah. He's the media love him.
Yeah.
The press love him. It makes his life an awful lot easier. Because they have that affection for him. He gets away with more than the managers would.
I think he's great.
I love him, and I don't think it's an actor. I think he's very natural.
I don't actually care whether it's an actor or not. Because I don't have to actually have a physical or a personal relationship with him. I just have to enjoy what I see in the media or what I see on TV.
I just think it's all about him. Phil. It's all
that's
about
cool. I like that.
Get
that's
rid
what
of him.
That's what a manager. Yeah, you're cut.
He's gone.
I think that's what a manager should be.
Well, Noel Tracy says here, Neil was a prick. Where'd you get him from? Thanks, Noel.
You fucking brought him into our lives.
That's your brother-in-law.
It's your fault, Noel. You brought this into our lives.
If it wasn't for you, Noel, it would be somebody else here with it. Cornwall haircut.
We should all just sit here and have a fucking circle wank about Jurgen Klopp.
I do because there's not really much to discuss about the Porto game. Nothing really happened. Milner did a lot to run around and was very good at the running around, and then nobody else really did anything apart from that because they didn't have to do it. Porto decided after they had one shot after about 10 minutes and then said right, that's it, we're grand. They didn't even bring a team. They brought all the lads.
Their fans were good.
The fans were great. Actually, that's worth saying. The fans are actually
what
really
did they
good.
Boo?
Did they not boo the minute silence or start shouting?
They started shouting
Benfica shite during the minute silence for your man David Astori. Or
yeah, but like they're probably saying who's Astori?
What's the story?
Unless they just
they apologised for it afterwards. They just
all
said that Benfica
together.
Fans had done
we
that.
Are
with
sorry.
Them.
All them yeah, together.
They
did
just
it.
Chanted.
We are sorry. Apologies. You never make it there.
You're sincerely part of
it. I've been asked here, will I ever praise Milner? I've praised Milner.
Three times.
And he's been worthy of the praise 3 times that he got. Look, Milner is what Milner is. That's the best thing to say.
The problem is, you know, when you dislike a player, you go that ball's deep that it's very hard to get your back up out of the hole.
You can't come back.
Yeah, you can't dig up.
Like,
You bigged up Karius when he came, and then he pissed you off, and you just went like to the other extreme, and now it's very hard for you to compliment Karius. I'd love to hear your honest opinion on Karius.
I've been honest about Karius all the way through. I said that I thought Karius was a better goalkeeper than Mignolet right the way through. I thought he should have been playing over Mignolet right the way through. I said I didn't think it would happen because I thought it was too far gone for him to win the fans back over, to make them believe that he's a good enough goalkeeper. And I'm still waiting for him to make the first mistake to see what the reaction looks like at that point. I am delighted, and I am absolutely delighted that the guy is performing to the level that he performed at when he was in Germany.
Has he got enough collateral in the bank to make a mistake?
No.
I think he has.
Do you think he has?
Yeah.
I've seen the way the fans have turned on Moreno when he made one mistake in the Sevilla game after putting in 10, 11 brilliant performances. Yeah, no, seriously. And all that's going to happen is when Karius makes a mistake, you just watch. Watch how quickly it turns on him.
I think they'll turn on him, yeah?
If he makes a mistake this week. Wait till you hear the groans in the stadium.
You know, like, Karius can't control what the fans do. Like, I mean, it's not his fucking fault. I'd be more interested in his response to it. If he makes a mistake and he starts worrying about what Gary Neville and Carragher are saying, then we've another problem. because like for as long as he's in England, those two are going to be hypercritical of goalkeepers, of Liverpool players, you know what I mean?
No, but come here,
Carragher's jumping on Neville's bandwagon now, and you know.
And you said to me, you'd love to get my opinion, and you said that I went down the hole with Carragher. I haven't. Yeah. I went down the hole with Mignolet, and I said he was never coming back over, and I wanted to put him in a hole myself, right? Yeah. But with Carragher, I wasn't. I thought that he was good enough to wear the jersey. I didn't know if he'd be able to turn his form sufficiently around to get the confidence of the fans back and get to a point where
he would be considered
number one.
To be fair to you, you did.
And I thought that he was I said the way he was performing, the way the games had gone, the way that his performance had gone up until this point where he's been put back in and the fate has been given to him, right? Mm. I thought, well, then you may as well give him Ward a shot at that stage because both of them looked like a busted flush before Christmas.
Yeah.
He deserves a lot of respect for the fact that he has come back in. And you can see it in him getting a run of games in league and cup. Yep. Not wondering, am I back out this week because it's such and such. It's nearly a good thing for him that we're out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Because there's no more distractions.
Pressure on him to play.
It's basically, he has, whatever, 8 league games left, mm-hmm. 9 league games. And then and whatever
five,
amount of
five
Champions
League
games up to the
two
final.
Two quarterfinals, two semifinals and final. Yeah.
Like as far as I'm concerned, Carragher's never happened. He was injured coming in with, you know, coming back from an injury. I'm sure it was difficult enough. He had a broken hand or something. And then it didn't start
broken
off great. It didn't,
broken heart.
I'm a broken man.
It didn't start off great for him.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Carragher we've seen, like, certainly wasn't the Carragher that Klopp, had scouted from Germany and said, we'll buy him. He looks good. Because you just wouldn't have bought that Carragher.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, you know, he got slated by Sky and he reacted a bit.
Rightly
he's a
so,
young player, coming over to England and everything else, and he had a pop back at the media. Probably wasn't his best moment. And it was just a fucking disaster after that. So it's complete write-off now. This is Carragher. What we're seeing now is the Carragher that Klopp obviously went and bought. So as far as I'm concerned, the first part never happened. And this is the goalkeeper that we bought.
I don't think you can say the first half never happened.
Surely it has an effect on his confidence, doesn't it?
Let me put this,
but it's in the past now.
Let me play this back to you, right? Because you asked me the question. Now, I put the tweets out during the week around the stats about his save percentage coming up to a level that you'd expect for a top four goalkeeper.
Did you make that up?
No, I actually went and researched it for a change, right? I didn't just make
very
it.
Very unlike you, Phil.
Very unlike me. It did, yeah.
Evidence.
I'll show it to you. It's on the Mac, but we're using that to record the podcast, right? Anyway, but I put it out there because I wanted to see what the reaction was. And the reaction was exactly what I expected it to be. You had an awful lot of people saying, brilliant, isn't it great that he's coming up to the level that you need the goalkeeper, a top four goalkeeper to be. It's amazing to think.
There we go, Steve.
The button.
Intense.
Go back.
And we're back.
Anyway.
Thanks, Steve.
We will have this sorted when we move into our permanent home in a few weeks.
But the thing about it was that the reason why, because most of the reaction came back saying we should still buy Alisson.
Mm.
We should still spend €50 million on a goalkeeper.
And most people don't know who he is.
And then let them compete. Now, I did a follow-up tweet just to see how much research people have done into the Alisson thing, right? Because one of the quotes that was put back to me was, but Alisson has proved this over a longer period than Carragher. All I pointed out was that this is Alisson's first season playing in a European league.
Yeah.
Previous to this, he had 2 seasons for Internacional in Brazil, right? And this is his best performance season of all 3 seasons.
This could just be a great season for him.
Well, that's crazy, you know, to think how fans are this devoted to bringing in Alisson.
Mm-hmm.
When they've just read about him on Twitter,
most people don't know who he is. I'd freely admit him.
And,
who he is.
You know, my point about the force being a write-off is, like, if Carragher performed like that at the very, very beginning, we wouldn't be talking about Alisson or any, you know, goalkeeper.
But he didn't. So, he didn't. Yeah, and he had that wobble. And that's why people are worried.
Alisson may come into England and have the very same wobble at the beginning.
Of course.
If he breaks his hand and he fucking has a little couple of mistakes at the start, and the criticism that Carragher received from Neville and then Carragher backing him up was totally, you know, wasn't balanced or measured. It was just pure
lash into a young goalkeeper.
Extreme.
I think he was very poor though.
But they were criticising his position and all. Like, what the fuck does Gary Neville know about a goalkeeper's positioning? Gary Neville was saying that, and then other people who are, you know, just as probably more qualified to comment on his position were saying he was wrong. So
I'll make a prediction now. I think if Carragher keeps up this level of performance to the end of the season, that Klopp will not sign a number one he will sign a goalkeeper, either an older goalkeeper or a younger keeper, to come in and challenge him and retain. Either I think they'll struggle to sell Mignolet because I'm not sure another team will pay his wages out there. So I think
Bowles will take an interest.
I think they'll shift Mignolet. He's actually changed agent this week as well.
But it's already out there that
there'll be a couple of Premiership teams that'll pay 70, 80 grand a week.
The comparison I could make with Robertson, when he came in and he got a run of 10 games and all of a sudden he's fantastic and the left back situation has been solved. So if Karius does that as well, but then the goalkeeping situation starts.
That's my point. I don't see them spending huge amounts. If Karius continues this level of goalkeeping to the end of the season, he'll end up with a 70 plus percentage shots on goal save ratio, right? Which is top end of the Premiership, right?
Yeah. Is it up there with De Gea?
No, De Gea is up in the 80 percentages, but he's by far. There's only the elite level goalkeepers in Europe. Alisson's dropped back. He was in the 80 pluses and he's dropped back into the 70s now. Oblak and De Gea, and I think Manuel Neuer are the ones who have been consistently up in the 80 percentage levels. But these are fellas.
They're freaks.
These are literally the best goalkeepers in the world. Right? Even Buffon, I think is mid 70s, high 70s.
Saves is it's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? It's how commanding, that's what they're going to need.
I agree, but it's a good measure because goalkeepers face lots of different shots, right the way across it. It's there's no one statistic that can say this is a good goalkeeper, this is a bad goalkeeper. No. But it's a good way to measure comparison.
Yeah, if you pull it back in, I haven't watched a huge amount of United this season. I haven't watched a huge amount of anybody bar Liverpool. But you look at some of the saves that De Gea has made in matches when they were 1-0 up or 0-0, and they're absolute game changers.
Yeah,
and United could be struggling for top four if they had a keeper that, as you say, was maybe even low 70s shot percentage rate. And I'm not one for following that. I don't ever keep track of what keepers are on. But a keeper that saves 10% less shots than De Gea is putting United in trouble.
Karius save against Newcastle, for example, was
exactly
a perfect.
And the Huddersfield game, he makes another big save in the Huddersfield game when we're 1-0 up. And that's their game winning saves, their point winning saves, right? And that's the difference between the thing. Now, anyway, I want to move on because we might get around to talking about a bit more transfers towards the end when we're just talking about conceptually what we'll do. But look, moving along on the Porto game, Ings coming in, he did all right running around the pitch. Should have had a goal. He was unlucky. Casillas made a great save.
Was that the header you're talking about?
Yeah.
He was unlucky there. I think all he needed was some minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't think, truthfully, we're going to see much of Danny Ings this season.
No.
So then it becomes whether he goes in the summer because we upgrade, or he's kept there as somebody who can honestly give 15 games next season and can do a job.
Mm.
And even the best teams that have won leagues have had players who come in and do a job. So it wouldn't bother me for him to stay around, but we definitely need... We can't go into next season with our front three, Solanke and Ings, as our options.
Yeah,
but it's very hard to get a striker who's going to play second fiddle to the manager's number one player, Bobby Firmino. He's Klopp's favourite player. He's the first man on the team sheet every week. So it's going to be hard to get a standard striker who's going to come in probably in December when it gets congested. You know, and again in March, if you're still in the Champions League,
you know what it is. It's the fact that Firmino doesn't get injured, but similar to Suarez, Suarez just didn't get injured. Even when he was injured, he still went out and scored goals because he always played. And I remember it was a Gerrard's book spoke about that. You know, having to strap up his ankles and whatever else,
just
and
went
in bits,
Robotron.
And he just out he went and scored two goals in games, but the problem is you can't legislate for Firmino possibly breaking an ankle or having a knee injury or whatever it might be that takes him out, and then all of a sudden so a club of our stature that wants to actually compete next season, you look at it, City aren't, and I know we're using it, but I'm using them as the league leaders and the benchmark. They're not worried about whether it's Sergio Aguero or whether it's Gabriel Jesus. They don't care. So clearly Aguero is their number one, but when Jesus came in there was no problem.
But I think we're looking for goals from around Firmino, like, he isn't even our top goal scorer. He's a centre forward. He's not near the top goal scorer. But when you're looking, when he's the focal point of everything, really, like, he is a very important part of the engine.
Never get a game.
But don't sign a backup for him. Sign somebody who can play across the front.
Aguero scores. He's important to City for scoring goals, but he's not important for City for their overall play.
But
Firmino comes back in defence. Like, you've often seen Firmino pop up
right back,
right in front of the defenders.
Andy, isn't that why, in a way, if you look at Ings' attitude and the way he plays the game, that's probably why Klopp has kept him there, because while he's not as good technically as Firmino, his work rate and is willing to do the doggies for the team is more suitable to say keeping Origi in, who's a natural number 9, or keeping Sturridge in, who'll be a more natural number 9, who wants to sit up top and doesn't want to necessarily drop in and do.
It's just, that's what I'm saying, that's my point. Like, it's going to be very hard. Like, there's no point in really offloading Ings. Like, there's you're not going to really you're not going to really get much better than him in terms of like what he has, what he offers the squad, when he'll come in, when he's happy to play.
If you spend a lot of money on a backup for him, he's never going to get again.
Right, Lallana, the other one from the takeaway from Wednesday night against Porto. Lallana, there was a lot of debate around his performance that was there. Now, I think the fairest assessment on it was more so that this is a guy who's played very little football over the last 6 months. And then when he comes in, he goes into the top three. And I think any of us who've watched Liverpool since he signed, whenever he's played in the top three, he has failed to turn
even
in.
At his best last season, when he was absolutely flying last season. Couple of games, Klopp moved him right side of the front three. And he was fucking non-existent.
No.
He just doesn't. Just he doesn't play. He doesn't play that role well. And what has benefited us so much out in those positions, even the difference in having Salah and Mane out there compared to Coutinho, there's a difference. But having that direct pace, and he doesn't have it. So the problem for him is playing out there. It's just about getting minutes under his belt, and that's all it should be. It's a fella who's played fuck all football this year, and people are saying, "Oh, he's finished. He has to go in the summer. He's not going to go." Klopp's come out in the last week and said,
"Maybe say he's finished."
Yeah, people are talking about him being finished and he'll never be the same again and he's past his best. Dave Thomas said about how he's gone down a level whilst the team has gone up.
Dave Thomas makes a valid point to that.
I don't know if it's impossible to...
Absolutely not.
No, in terms of the top level Alana that we've seen play...
But it's impossible to gauge that because he hasn't played enough football this season to say...
If he's lost a bit of pace...
But how do we know?
No one knows.
No, we don't know that.
We don't know. He's not.
Well,
he's
I'd
not
like to call it early because I'm.
Listen, I slated Lallana when
say
he
the
came
same.
In.
You could say the same about Henderson.
Like a great IPK, for me, I'm going to go in early now.
Yeah.
When he finishes
and say
when
you were right.
At 34, I'll
say, I told you
you
went early.
Told you went early.
No, in all seriousness.
Personally, I never thought we'd see the same sort of attributes in Henderson's game that we've seen in 13 and 14. If you want. That we
not the wrong word, but however, it wasn't bad.
I thought we'd never see that kind of Henderson, that he was, you know, he's pressing so well and he's energetic and he's throwing his weight around and he's getting stuck in. I thought we'd never see that again. And out of blue at the weekend, it came back and then we seen it.
Special mention off Klopp as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and we seen it again. And it's the type of thing that I thought with his injuries he wasn't capable of anymore. I thought it was a thing where he was restricted in his play. That's why Klopp was playing him as a deep line midfielder, and it was more so, it wasn't a choice. It was just, this is what we have to do with him. We're limited in the midfield. It suits him best to sit there, but he was actually flying around the fucking place again.
Murphy gave him a shout as well on Match of the Day, didn't he?
Yeah, well,
but that's the
Match of the
Klopp.
Day went a little bit over the top, because they're thinking of the World Cup and all of that shit. Well,
the thing, the Klopp came out during the week and said he was wrong in how he handled Lallana, right? He said, we rushed him back and it's our fault that he's had the breakdown and injuries that he's had. There's absolutely no way he's going to get rid of that player in the summer. Just the type of man that Klopp is. He loves him, but he's going to give him another season.
But my argument on that as well is that the likelihood is that Chan is going to leave, although the talk today that he's out house hunting in Liverpool. But anyway, on the assumption, if you assume that Chan is going to leave, right, and you're bringing in Kate already as a midfielder, and you're potentially bringing in another midfielder to cover Chan's loss, if you then sell Henderson, you've basically sold your whole midfield.
Lallana.
Sorry, Lallana.
I was saying Klopp came out and said it's his fault that Lallana's had the breakdown and injuries.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Well,
there's no way.
He was talking about Henderson before that.
Yeah.
So when you look at both of them as
he's not selling Henderson.
Neither of them to be sold. I think I just feels like Chan's going to stay.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's nice to hear that he's decided that no decision will be made until the end of the season.
That was lovely.
So what I mean by that is, even if he's decided where he's going, even if he's decided where he's going, it's not going to be announced until the end of the season. So he can just get on with playing football.
I can't get my head around why he wants to leave.
Because we never win leagues, and Juve always win leagues.
So he's just
He's a player wanting to go to win trophies. That's just mad.
Yeah,
go that's on. Fucking stupid. Mad. That's ridiculous. A team that constantly gets towards the final of the Champions League and always wins the league.
It's better crack playing for Liverpool.
Oh yeah, I'd say so. I'd say people.
I bet you he loves getting called fat all the time and slow and ponderous.
Oh fuck off, you fat twat! I'd say he loves that. At least he won't be able to understand it in Italian.
Yeah. Him and Higuain would have some party, wouldn't they? Pasta party.
Carbonara
pasta.
Two of them
sitting in
the meeting each other with the spaghetti.
Swimming through linguine.
I watched Juventus last night. It wouldn't be interesting playing for them.
Would you not? No. That'd be in the fire again. Fuck that old lady, me bollocks.
You see them high fiving each other now for like making great tackles and saves.
I bet he doesn't like the hugs.
Who?
Yeah, do you reckon he's a bit do you reckon he feels a bit too homoerotic?
Yeah, no, he doesn't like the hugs. That's why he's leaving.
Yeah.
And pasta.
It's a lot to do with pasta.
I like pasta. I'm off to Italy.
Made lovely pasta the other night, actually. Yeah.
What was it made of?
It was carbonara. Made from scratch.
Very good. Anyway, look, we're sort of beating around the bush.
I bet you there was fucking those little mushroom bastards in
it. No, there wasn't. Right. Smoked pancetta, egg yolks, tiny dash, literally a dash of cream. You got to use your pasta water and in with the parmesan as well.
Oh, excellent.
I thought you said you had those little fungi mushroom bastards in that.
No.
Fungi mushroom bastards.
That's not. They're not mushrooms. They're a fungus. You shave truffle into it.
I know what it is. Yeah. I've eaten the shite.
Yeah. What do you mean the shite? It's absolutely delicious.
It's not delicious. It just tastes delicious.
Truffle is outrageous.
It's not.
Truffle shaved into it. It was fucking great.
No.
The richness
and a
of
lovely
it.
Fucking glass of
it. It's horrible.
I'm more interested now in the truffle oil.
No, it wasn't truffle oil. It was actually black truffle.
Did you buy black truffles?
Yeah. And shaved it in.
You've got a lot of money to spend, don't you, if you're fucking buying black truffles?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Get the drinks in then.
I will as soon as the fucking barkeeper arrives.
Right, look.
Innkeeper. Right. Four Porter.
We've beat around the bush enough. Right, lads.
And I've been for the young
fella. Small game.
What's
wrong with him? What's wrong with him?
I don't know what's got into him since he drank 2 litres of that red lemonade.
Him off the box driver.
Every E number that was ever existed.
What do you think about it? Red lemonade on the table.
Yeah. Bags of crisps red lemonade and fucking mad out of your box.
And like red lemonade.
I can have money to go to the shop to get sweets. On top of the red lemonade.
Steve, the thing is that the English lads don't know about red lemonade.
Well, they do. It was banned in the early 90s or whatever, but they might remember from
it. Clear lemonade, except it was just extra sugar, food colouring.
What?
Lemonade. It's made out of
red
lemonade.
The red food colouring made it red.
It was red lemonade.
Red lemons.
Why did you even call it red lemonade?
Because it's red lemon.
Red lemonade.
What would you call it?
Red lemon, yellow lemon, is five it? Times fast can't. No.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's yeah, red lemon. Oh, it's
no,
lemonade.
It's not made with lemons. No, it's not made with lemons.
Okay.
It's not.
It's basically.
This is stupid.
Why is it called lemonade if it's red?
Because it originally was made with lemon. It was basically lemon juice, sugar, and water.
Is there any lemons in it at all?
Yeah.
They just put colouring into it. TK lemonade was lemonade with extra. Yeah,
but white lemonade has no lemons in it either, you spaz. It has some citric acid, but it has no fucking lemons. That's why it doesn't in any way taste of lemon.
It tastes of white lemonade.
Oh my god.
Red lemonade was the best drink ever.
You ever get the red lemonade lollipops? You can get TK red lemonade.
There's rules about that now.
What?
Like if you call something lemon, it has to have lemons in it.
Red eggs.
Like if you have,
it's really misleading.
You know,
isn't
red eggs.
Do you feel like your childhood was torn apart?
Red eggs. Actually, if lads want to pack in the Red Bull,
did you ever put ice cream in a cup of red lemonade?
Get 2 liters of red lemonade instead of the Red Bull before matches, and you'll be much better.
Get it into you.
Yeah,
great days.
Where was it going to go?
Just Bico solid. Do you remember?
What?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Your spit got really thick. Yeah, yeah. You'd have to like pull it off your tongue to get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a fucking yo-yo.
Yeah,
your spit is just going.
And then slap you in the face.
Shrink down your jumper.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Cut that off me, will you? Yeah.
Cut me spit.
Cut me spit off.
Oh, right, English people haven't lived.
Fucking
social services be around. None of us would have gaffs.
Six of us in the back of a hillman. Hold on.
Not a seatbelt to be seen.
That was the boot.
No.
Two major got for the same one.
Here, have some more red lemonade to be grand.
Put up all the reds.
He never sleeps at night. I don't know what's wrong with him. Penley is a red lemonade.
They were the best.
Right, okay. Let's segue. That's a red lemonade. Good segue into the Man United match.
Red cunts,
right, so it's been a while since a Liverpool United game was actually this close in terms of positions of the league. Probably is it? Oh, wait, 09? Arguably, it's the last time when we were this close in the league.
I don't remember, to be honest.
As we went into a game in Old Trafford.
I know what you're saying, later in the season.
Late into the season, where both teams could potentially trade positions based on
probably,
the outcome
probably,
of the
result.
The really good thing is that the result in no way makes any difference to what's going to happen in the league.
Yeah.
Because Man City have won it.
Oh, no.
It's fucked.
But, see, don't remember. You have to remember this, right?
This is the second league.
When City are done for Team Sky like enhancements
alleged
to their performance.
Doping.
Yeah, right.
I made this point already.
Right, and it's we fucking, finish second. Yeah. That's number 19.
It's important to finish.
It is. It is.
Take a default as well. No,
default. That's the greatest two words in the English language.
I don't care how. If we finish second to City for the next 5 years, we'll have 5 league championships within 10 years. Yeah. It'd be brilliant.
If you get over 100 points in the league, I think it should be an automatic
drug test.
Yeah,
for everyone.
Everybody.
Even their misses.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going on. It's a bit weird.
Fair point.
Yeah. It's a nice tackle didn't sign for them.
Which
on
one?
Oh,
he would have sipped it.
Give him it. Give him a
holiday. I don't want another one.
Right.
Sit here. On camera.
But the question I have, right, lads, going into it, looking at it, do we expect any surprises from Mourinho's approach to this? Like, in my head, I'm saying it's the same as when he came to Anfield in 13-14 with Chelsea, and he's coming there. Just he'll basically be happy not to lose an Old Trafford.
The only surprise
stay.
Will be if he lets them play in any way.
It's not going to break form. No.
I don't foresee him.
But the thing is, he's really, really good at it.
Yeah, he's excellent, you know, especially against us.
Yeah. When was the last time about United in the league?
I think it was 08. No, 07.
No, it wasn't. No. We beat them 13-14.
Well, in Old Trafford.
Maybe
in
the even year after that.
14-15 was Old Trafford.
Oh yeah. We battered Moyes. Yeah,
yeah, so. in Old Trafford. So that's
so
the last time.
Yeah, 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, it's you almost feel like we're due a result there. And like they've beaten us with Benteke.
Like
oh no, yeah, but that's it's gonna work.
No, but the gulf in quality up front. If we can break there, I think De Gea will be the difference again. You know, and we've had matches previously whereby
we
he's just
won.
Been outstanding, outstanding. And if he has another game like that, well, then it's just going to take something worldly. Thankfully, we've 3 players up top now, and it's the first time since 13-14 where we're giving them 3 people to worry about.
I went to the game in Anfield, and they stunk the place out. You may as well be watching Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
They were disgusting. They were disgusting. Yeah. I expect the same again, but the good thing is we're better now. We're a lot better now. And
less likely to give up chances to the other
less
well.
Likely, you know. Lukaku got in, and there was a couple of really good chances they got, you know, they got free. Gomez kind of started off a bit sloppy at the start, but I think now we probably stand a better chance, even though it's away from home.
We have the best attacking threat in the league, in my opinion, in terms of unpredictability, and that's what Salah has over Aguero and Kane, is the ability to do a number of different things.
And he's not a centre forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying by that is Aguero and Kane have a tendency to just do what they're really good at over and over again. Yeah. Salah has scored a ton of different types of goals this season. And that's me being biased towards him. But I just think he has the ability to, and if they decide to double up on him or man mark him, then they're making it a job easier for Firmino or for Mane.
A great result in Old Trafford, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good result.
I'd take a draw.
I think it's probably time to, you know, make that statement. It's a huge chance. They're shy.
Turn the screw.
You know, they really are. They're just grinding out results. But you know, football has to win eventually. You know.
But is that not exactly what Juve do?
It is exactly what they do, yeah.
You know, Juve win leagues by grinding out results. They stink the place out 1-0 a lot of the time.
They play well for 10 or 15 minutes last night.
Yeah, and won. Yeah. And one, you know what I mean? Well, so,
Spurs were, you know, the second goal Spurs conceded was a shocker.
Okay, but they have, if they had the right manager in charge, they've actually got a fairly potent attacking threat up front.
Yeah,
if they actually wanted to go and attack teams with Lukaku, Martial,
Rashford,
Mata, yeah. Sanchez,
yeah,
right, they've added Sanchez, and like Sanchez is a big.
Sanchez is a massive player, like one of the best players in the league, and he has been dog shit since he signed for them.
It's amazing Ronaldo signed him because he's not his type of player. I wouldn't have
thought. He is, but I was having this conversation about Pogba today. I think Mourinho's gone a bit soft. I think there's no way Pogba would be allowed to perform, act, go on the way he's going on if that was classic Mourinho.
Yeah, but there's a hierarchy there. They spent, you know, 90 million.
But this is the problem. This is the problem.
That
he's not the biggest show in town at United. Whereas he was at Chelsea.
Marketing-wise, I think he is though, Pogba.
I'm talking about Mourinho.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying when Mourinho was at Chelsea, it didn't matter who he signed and how much money he spent on them. And he was paying huge money for players at the time, if you remember. He really was. Yeah. Chelsea were blowing most teams in the world out of it. But they came in and they knew that it was Mourinho and then everybody else.
Yeah.
And there's not that air of...
Yeah.
Mourinho doesn't have that air of fucking supremacy about him at United. Yeah.
Pogba has to play, but he's not... Like, Mourinho's not going to be dictated by where Pogba wants to play. Yeah. Pogba's saying, I want to play a little bit off the left. I just want to play a little bit left. You know what I mean? Yeah, shut the fuck up, as well.
Okay, so I'll put it to you. So, who do we expect? Who do we expect?
Pepe.
To start in the United side, like obviously De Gea in goal. He's been the United fans are giving out stink about Smalling playing, but he still seems to be playing.
He's playing every game, so I'd say Valencia.
Is Bailey out injured?
Is he not just back? I don't know now, but so it'll be probably Jones and Jones or Lindelof. Lindelof been playing.
Lindelof playing because Jones is constantly injured.
So Valencia, Smalling, Lindelof, and Young. I think he'll go back with Young. You can't have that fat cunt, Luke Shaw.
No, be Young.
The cunt's built like me playing football. He's an it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I'd love to see him up against Salah.
Fucking Pudner.
A leg race against Salah.
It would be lovely to hear that Young fucking got injured. Or had a niggle or something, and Shaw had to play. But it'll be Young, Valencia, Lindelof, Smalling, De Gea. I think you're going to see Matic, Pogba, and your man
Tommy.
Although he got pulled the other day at half time.
Who, Herrera?
No, fucking
Herrera Castro. He's up in charge.
Fucking whatever his name is.
For match fixing. Talking about 4 years in prison for him.
Let's call him McInerney. I can't remember his fucking name.
McTominay.
I don't give a bollocks.
Johnny
Hobbit. So fucking Matic, fucking Hobbit. Pogba, and Johnny Hobbit, and then it'll be Martial,
Lukaku.
So essentially, in a classic Mourinho tradition, he's just going to more or less shape up like for like in terms of formation. He's not going to break rank. We're going to have three up front, three in the middle, and four at the back.
Yeah, and they're going to go the same. And he's probably going to have Sanchez drop in.
And he's going to try squeeze the life out of it. He'll tell Pogba just to float around whoever's sitting in
a little bit off
for
the
us.
Left.
Yeah. So whoever's sitting deepest, go and play. Sit on him. Don't let him play out from the back. And then when we have it, just drift to the left and
smash
just
him within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Smash him.
Tell Emery Chan to run through him.
Emery Chan will do that. Stevie G, you need to smash him early to get sent off.
No, I think Emery Chan is the type of who would enjoy trying.
Who would wait for the ball. He would hold the ball for Pogba to come, and then
smash him.
Yeah,
right. Looking at ourselves, what do we expect? absolute gimp. That's more than Mignolet like would.
Nilo Karius.
What do we expect? So I'll start at the back. Obviously, Karius starts in goal.
Yeah.
Back four. The big question mark is Gomez, Trent or Gomez?
Yeah, it's a stranger I'd now. It looks like Trent has become a worse choice.
Trent as well. Yeah.
I'd stick with Trent.
He has a big game mentality.
Because Gomez, for all his people talking about him being a centre back and being a little bit more solid, he has an awful habit of getting caught at that back post in the same way that Trent does as well. And he's had some bad games. Mm. He's had some games. Even he started off the game the other night a little bit sloppy. So I think Trent goes back in. I think it'll be Lovren and Van der Vaart. I was only reading an article today about him.
Stop trying to make up an excuse. He nearly
signed when he was 19. He was talking about. But anyway, so it was him and Van Dijk and Robertson left back. Yeah. Chan, Henderson, and fucking Ox, and I think it's going to be the full trio.
Putting up one thing there, the Ox show.
Ah, listen, it's just easier. Just than saying
for saying Ox.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit now.
You prefer Chamberlain,
do you?
I prefer AOC.
AOC?
So what I'm referring to him as now.
AOC?
Nothing like a TLA.
I don't know what that means.
All right.
It's an acronym.
The midfield, no, I want to have a good
The way Chamberlain played against City, you know, big game, similar, you know, running at their defence, especially when they're going to be so tight. I think, you know, you need, if a team is going to be that tight at the back, like the way they play with the banks, you need a player to run with the ball. You know, and I think
you just might get something out of Chamberlain than Wijnaldum. Yeah. Wijnaldum hasn't scored that away goal yet. Yeah. And he hasn't actually looked like providing a huge amount of threat in the final third.
He's been carrying an injury as well, hasn't he?
I think playing Chan, Henderson and AOC.
Is there not a show for James Milner? Champions League.
There actually fucking is a very big show for that. That could easily happen.
Depends on whether we want to go at them or whether we want to try and be a little bit more reserved ourselves.
Or confuse them.
He could play Henderson with him falling out, Milner and Chan.
Yeah, you could play Helner, Minderson, and Minderson.
I was just about to say there won't be any surprises, but
it could be. You know, I think Chamberlain or Milner
might seem a surprise to the regular fan, but the Klopp, I think he really, you know, highly rates him just as much as
Noel Tracy reckons that Milner's a Q cunt and he thinks he starts.
I agree with Noel in that sense. Like
in a sexual manner or just as in a... In just
he's a little scamp.
Look at the scamp with his Minecraft head.
Whoa. What are you saying, Noel?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said Milner's a very intelligent player, or else he's very intelligent.
He's streetwise and for big games like
T-shirt at the minute.
Yeah, I hope you gave it an iron. No,
most people are saying Milner could start for his defensive work rate.
Yeah, he does it, but you know what? Chamberlain puts in a huge amount of work as well. So,
see, Gar Bernino has just joined. Gar, if you could get back to us on a text message we sent you at 9:15 this morning.
You start with Milner and Shane will come on with a bit of an impact if you need it.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, maybe so. I wouldn't be upset to see either.
Mm.
You know, I think Milner's done enough lately to justify a start.
Yeah. Start.
But so has Chamberlain. So okay. It's much and much.
But get off the fucking fence. You go for Chamberlain.
I go Chamberlain.
Chamberlain. Neil.
Because
Chamberlain
I just think he gives it a little bit more.
Chamberlain. Andy.
Milner.
Milner. What rationale, please?
Just Chamberlain.
Just so we're not accused of having agendas.
Yeah.
No, Milner just, I think Klopp rates him so highly, a lot higher than fans do. He's been playing well. The experience, you know, he's probably gives you a bit more balance for that type of game. Mm. So, Milner, yeah.
Well, my wild card, if there is one, to
Gruage.
Yeah,
great keeper, big man.
A great keeper, big man. Wonderful header, can head it from his own 18-yard box into
the
goal.
Where is he?
Where is he?
Somewhere.
Whoever Warnock is.
Cardiff. He's got his fourth goal from. But fair play, my random wildcard shit would be Lallana.
No.
Over ahead of Milner and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
No.
And the reason for it is, it's his cuteness and his guile in really tight spaces.
God.
And he's the one who actually actively gets into the box, look at the score goals.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him come on at 65, 70 minutes if it's still a stalemate to unlock them a little bit or try and unlock them. But I don't think 65.
I think if you,
what you want to do is you want to put the bet on from 66 to 70.
A few more games down the line and Lana to have a few good performances. You know, he stake his claim, but I don't personally think that he will.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. No, I don't see Lallana starting. I'd be very surprised, given that he didn't have a huge impact the other night. Now, no disrespect for that. That's fair enough. But I don't see him coming in at the weekend ahead of Milner and Chamberlain.
There's a few possibilities. Like, it could be Lovren or Matip. Could be Milner or Ox. Could be, you know, after that thing.
Isn't it great to be in a position where you have those opportunities?
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
Right then. So, where the main event happens for us, the tremendous trio. The three amigos, the something.
Great,
up front,
it's gonna happen.
What a host!
What
a host!
Are they gonna take this United defense apart?
Bill Hurley, he'd be shitting himself.
The reason I'm asking is going back to your point, Steve. You said De Gea is the difference in this game, right?
Yeah.
We've all seen that over the last couple of weeks. The goals that De Gea has conceded tended to be balls that maybe a more aggressive keeper who likes to come for crosses could claim. And he's also started to get beaten a little bit at his near post in an old Jose Reina fashion.
Some strike though that one in his near post. No, I'm talking about the Palace,
the Crystal
player.
Palace one.
Oh, yeah.
Blemmed past him.
Yeah.
A absolute blemmer.
Sorry, blemmer it was. It was a mad looking fucking freak. Really good. Really good.
Yeah, I think he, listen, he is. He's their only world class performing player. Mm. The only player performing for them at a world class level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he has to be the difference, and he's been the difference in so many games against us and against so many other teams. But I think we'll breach the wall this weekend.
We created a lot of chances. We're gonna
score.
We'll concede 2-0.
I think we win
2-1.
It'd be interesting to see what way, you know, Klopp sets the team up. Is he going to be prepared to let them have the ball and try and hit them on the counter? You know, because that would suit us, but it's going to be exactly what Mourinho doesn't want to happen.
But yeah. I think at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me that if we set up that way and we start to sit deep, that they'd easily just keep the ball along the 18-yard line, a la Egypt in the 1990 World Cup. And just like, I'm not even going to try, mate. They're kicking out for corners to try to get us up the pitch.
It's just for Mane and Salah to work against these. You're going to have spaces, like, you know. I mean, Salah's quality, but it's going to take something special.
Do you worry about their set pieces? We've been defending quite well recently.
Not as much as I used to, because I think without Fellaini, I don't think he's likely to be involved at the weekend. He used to absolutely dominate in these games.
And he was elbows.
It was elbows. Whatever he did, it didn't matter. It was effective. You know what I mean? And he got away with it 90% of the time, which was more outrageous.
The game might be settled with set pieces. You know, we could score from a set piece.
Big Emery Chan header.
It tends to be a tight game. And, you know, tight games quite often are decided by penalties, set pieces.
Yeah. I think it's interesting you said a 2-1 shout, because it's not a common result that we see play out.
No.
We either win 2-0 by 100 goals, or we have some mad 2-0.
I just think we've been playing a different kind of football lately. And I think there is that. I don't think we're to the point whereby we're so confident we're not going to concede against someone like United. They have a huge amount of quality. There's nothing to say that Martial, Lukaku, Sanchez, whoever couldn't bang one in. I just hope we'll have a little bit too much of them. I hope that football will win out.
Neil,
yes,
give us your prediction.
I think it will be a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw.
Yeah.
Okay. Andy,
I just think it's due. I think we're so much better than them. You know, I know the league doesn't reflect that way, but certainly since the Spurs game, our form is a hell of a lot better. Like, we've gained something like 9 points on them or thereabouts. So I think we're way better, and I think this is the game that Liverpool really do stamp their authority on that claim. And I think we'll pull our pants down and beat them fairly significant
1-0 win,
convincingly.
It's just going to depend on De Gea as well, but I do think Liverpool will get a lot of chances and hopefully take a few of them. 3-1.
It'd be lovely to bash them comfortably. Like, it'd be lovely to be going in 75 minutes 3-0 up. And even if they pulled one back, you'd just go, meh.
Doesn't matter.
Wouldn't matter.
There is that air that we didn't have before, which is a confident viewpoint in terms of saying that we can hold a lead even if the teams come back. There's a calmness that wasn't there.
Yeah, there is.
Shit your bags, is gone.
Well, I wouldn't say it's gone. It's always sitting there sneaky in the background.
I think it's Van Dijk combined with the left back and the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Yeah. So three of the back four.
Do you know what's great as well? You know that we always play them early. Well.
Yeah.
And the Anfield, when it's early, you know, the fans are getting up about. It's mine. I'm having a point here.
Oh, yeah.
Making a point.
Having a point.
The fans.
When we finish now, you can do it.
The fans get up and, you know, they're still a little bit tired and whatnot. Yeah. And it's a bit quiet for a game like that, you know, though it shouldn't be. But this time, the travelling cop
will be mad.
Head down, pissed out our heads on the buses. Yeah. And they'll be making a lot of noise and hopefully fucking wake that ground up.
Yeah.
So that's what
that place is a morgue.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, I talk about Anfield having way worse. I said this before.
Anfield is great this season.
I don't know. Yeah, listen, I'm talking about on the whole. I went there and fucking United won 2-0 against us, and the place was absolutely dead. Like, they're beating us 2-0 at a time when we were a good side, and it was like. Yeah.
And they just sing about Gerrard.
They didn't even. There was just. Stratford End went fucking bananas for the two goals because both were scored in that end. As far as I can remember, Ferdinand scored one of them. Went bananas for 40 seconds, 50 seconds. bit of shouting, bit of cheering, and then it was like back to fucking none. I was just going, what is this?
Horrible. I don't know. I can't. I'm worried about Sanchez's impact. He, as you said, he's been crap since he went there, right?
He could spring into life.
Yeah, he could spring into life in this game, and that's
a Hugo Sanchez,
and he's a bloody game winner. So that's my biggest worry. And this is, I think it just.
What's this, our fifth time to play Sanchez this year?
No, yeah, we played Sanchez. He's played 19 times.
Yeah.
But I played him more.
We played against Sanchez more times than Spurs have played fucking Bournemouth.
It felt like we were playing against him when he was nearly signed for City and we were due to play City as well.
I know, yeah. And then he played for City and then he went to United.
It's mad career.
Sanchez is mad, isn't he?
Yeah. I think Sanchez has played more games against us than he played games this season. But I just.
Come on, would you spit out your fucking prediction, for fuck's sake?
We kick his little fat hoop around the fucking park.
Little stubby cunt.
Fuck, I think I'm sort of on Neil's side. I think it'll be a score draw. I don't know if it's going to be.
What do you reckon, Steve?
I think they're going. What do you reckon?
And thanks.
I have a big massive point about it.
But come on over and tell us. Come on, give us the earphones when you come over. So
we
make
can
sure
edit
it doesn't break.
Anyway, yeah.
Come on, Steve, give it a shot.
Come into the mic there. Phil, you'll remember Dortmund against Madrid.
Yeah.
Semi final where Klopp targeted Pepe.
Yeah.
And they literally just tore Madrid apart because they targeted with Pepe when he was on the ball.
Yeah.
I think we see that with Smalling on Saturday, where we will specifically target one of their centre halves any time we get the ball, and we will and let them have the ball at the back.
Right.
I think we beat them 4-1.
Back ratio.
He's gone for the populist vote.
He's gone for the popular vote.
I really think we will.
Start the poll. Who was your favourite trip of the night? Steve Brown's gone straight to the top of this. Between his production skills.
20 minutes looking at Dortmund stats.
Looking at targeting Pepe that night, Phil. 2014.
Yeah.
It was Klopp's masterclass at Dortmund. Was that game?
Yeah.
Not your club.
He drove into the stadium in a Vauxhall that night.
He got the big deal then. He's got the Mercedes now.
Boing. Right. Do I have any questions?
You've loads.
About what?
Just about life. Just about the amount of questions he asked me in the car. Oh, okay,
do you mind if I touch you there, Steve?
Never.
What about touch it again? Touch again. There. Right. How long was on the clock there?
55.
Excellent stuff. Right, that's a wrap. Thanks for watching tonight. It's going to take me a while to walk over to the computer, so no racism.
Big thanks to J.K. Stoutmans as well for giving us the
temporary home. Tonight, and of course,
temporary.
No.
Steve Hendrick was the shout there. Gar Brignino. Gar, any chance you could answer that text message? I'll just wrap this up. Big thanks again to the lads coming in. Neil Gray, Stephen Daly, Andy, Steve Brown, who's behind the camera tonight. And also big thanks, as you said, to J.K. Stoutmans, our temporary home for the next few weeks, potentially to the end of the season. And then we have
somewhere between April and May.
So we should get there. But we're doing a lot of work in the bunker, and it'll definitely be worth it at the end. With that, we will be back on Sunday with the Fatback Four. And there's no midweek match next week, is there?
No,
it's Champions League.
And remember, the Fatback Four have their weight loss challenge going at the moment.
Yes,
so
the 100-pound challenge. Get on there. It's for Alder Hay. Steve has said that he can lose more weight than all four of them put together, right?
Not hard. I'm just going to chop a fucking leg off.
From what
take out my wallet.
I know. From what we heard, that Grizz thinks that a diet is just giving up fried chicken. So he thinks that he's got to lose all his weight just doing that. It's not going to work. And Gav rang me today. Said Gav said he's stuck in a tunnel. I don't know whether he's actually physically stuck there. And he's hoping that starvation.
Is it a mental tunnel he's trying to get through?
I think he's in a mental tunnel. The only hobby. So look, get on there. It's a great cause.
It's our pinned tweet. So if you go onto the Twitter page, you'll find it there.
Yeah, so please support the lads. Donate if you can. And actually, if you want to get involved and prove that you can lose more weight than the Fatback Four, then
DM your picture of your scales. DM a picture of your scales to Matt Roberts.
And actually, if you want to cheat, right, get somebody who's really fat, right, and get their picture and just superimpose your head onto them and you standing on the scales, right, and then when you, then you can win by just taking a picture of normal self, but you stand on the scales at the end. Right, that's how
I got Ted to get on the scales. Job done.
I'm out then. Right, Steve, will you hit the button there? Again, thanks to everyone for watching tonight, and we will be back next Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
See you then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck.
Say the Anfield rapper shitting themselves.
I'd say the Anfield rapper shitting themselves.
They call it an emergency AGM. The day trippers have gone live there. It's the most professional thing I've ever seen.
Time to fire up the grill.
Time to go to Total Wine and find the perfect flavor to pair with those burgers.
Ooh, I love their beer cooler.
You love their prices even more.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Time to fire up the grill.
Time to go to Total Wine and find the perfect flavor to pair with those burgers.
Ooh, I love their beer cooler.
You love their prices even more.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.